There are places in the world where a helicopter isn't just transportation, it's the lifeline. No road in, no clinic nearby, no other way to reach the patient. The aircraft and its crew are the entire healthcare system for a community of hundreds of people living deep in jungle terrain. That's the world. The Malaysia Flying Doctor Service operates in every single day. And this week, that service is grounded. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. What happened in Sarawak matters beyond the headlines, and I want to give it the time it deserves. Today's broadcast is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now, Sarawak. If you haven't spent much time studying a map of Southeast Asia, Sarawak is the large Malaysian state that takes up the northwestern portion of the island of Borneo. It is, in a word, remote, dense equatorial rainforest rugged highland terrain, cutting through the interior. Rivers that serve as highways in places where paved roads simply don't exist. Indigenous communities, longhouse settlements, villages accessible only by boat or by air. For those communities, the Malaysia Flying Doctor Service, known locally as Perkhidmatan Doktor Terbang, has been a lifeline for decades. The service operates out of a network of small airstrips and helipads, bringing physicians and medical personnel directly to patients who cannot reach a hospital on their own. Think about what that means in practice. You're talking about emergency response, prenatal care, chronic disease management, surgical follow-up, all of it delivered to people who might be hours from the nearest paved road. The helicopter is not a convenience. It is the only option this week. That option is suspended. According to Aerotime, Malaysian authorities have grounded Flying Doctor Service helicopter operations in Sarawak following a crash that killed 5 people. The suspension is framed as a safety review, giving investigators and aviation officials time to assess what happened and whether there are systemic issues that need to be addressed before flights resume. 5 lives lost, and for the communities those flights served, a gap in care that will be felt immediately. Here's what you need to know about the operational context, because it matters for understanding why these flights are inherently challenging. Helicopter operations in a place like the Sarawak interior are among the most demanding in the world. You're talking about high humidity that affects performance calculations, equatorial weather that can build fast, and I mean fast. Visibility can drop from acceptable to zero in a time frame that leaves very little margin for a crew executing an approach to a jungle clearing. The terrain offers few forced landing options. The helipads serving remote communities are often basic by any standard, sometimes little more than cleared flat ground adjacent to a longhouse or village. And the missions themselves are not routine positioning flights. You're typically carrying medical personnel, sometimes patients. The schedules are driven by patient need, not by ideal weather windows. That combination, demanding terrain, challenging weather, mission-driven scheduling, is a pressure environment that any experienced helicopter pilot will tell you requires exceptionally disciplined crew resource management and conservative go, no-go decision-making. We don't yet know what caused this crash. The investigation is in its early stages, and I'm not going to speculate. What I will say is that the Malaysian government's decision to ground the service for a safety review rather than continue operations while investigators work is the right call. It's a hard call because those communities need those flights. But it is the right one. There is a concept in aviation safety culture that sometimes gets lost in the pressure of operational tempo, and it applies here. The obligation to assess before you resume, not to pause briefly and declare everything fine, to actually look hard at your operation, your aircraft, your procedures, your crew training, your weather minimums, your maintenance records, and ask honestly whether you're doing everything you can to send people home. The instinct to get back in the air fast is understandable. There are patients waiting. There are communities that depend on the service. Every day the helicopters are grounded is a day someone doesn't get the care they need. That pressure is real, and it is legitimate. But rushing back without understanding what happened is how you have a second accident. And a second accident would end the Flying Doctor Service entirely. The temporary suspension is the thing that makes the long-term continuation possible. I want to spend a moment on the humanitarian aviation space more broadly, because I think pilots in the United States and elsewhere sometimes don't fully appreciate how many organizations are running these kinds of operations around the world. You have mission aviation groups operating in sub-Saharan Africa, Papua New Guinea, Central America, the Pacific Islands. You have medevac services threading through mountain ranges in Nepal and the Andes. You have float plane operators in Alaska's bush country doing something not entirely unlike what the Flying Doctor Service does in Sarawak. The aircraft are different, the terrain is different, but the fundamental challenge is the same. You are flying in demanding environments, often under operational pressure, in service of people who have no other options. The pilots and crews who do this work are not daredevils. The good ones are, in my experience, some of the most methodical and risk-conscious aviators you will ever meet, because they understand better than anyone what the stakes are. A conservative decision on a marginal weather day doesn't just protect the crew, it protects the entire mission. Bend an airplane in a remote location, and you may have grounded the entire service while the wreck is recovered and the aircraft replaced. Risk management in humanitarian aviation is not just about personal safety. It's about preserving the operation's ability to continue. That framing is worth carrying into whatever flying you do, whether you're running a flying club, a charter operation, a pipeline patrol, or your personal aircraft. Your airplane is not just your asset. It is your access to flying, your passengers' access to whatever that flight means to them. Preserve it. Now, back to Malaysia, specifically. The government has not released a timeline for when Flying Doctor Service flights will resume. The safety review is ongoing. Officials have not publicly stated whether the cause of the crash has been identified, and the investigation process in Malaysia, like most countries, involves multiple agencies: the Civil Aviation Authority of Malaysia, local police, the state government of Sarawak, potentially transport ministry officials. These processes take time. What the suspension does signal is that Malaysian aviation authorities are not treating this as an isolated incident to be absorbed quietly and moved past. They are treating it as a trigger for a systematic look at the operation that matters. There is a pattern in aviation accident history that is uncomfortable but worth naming. Some accidents are truly singular events, a unique convergence of factors unlikely to recur. Others are symptoms of a deeper operational problem, an organizational culture that has normalized risk, maintenance practices that have drifted, training standards that have eroded over time. The post-accident review is how you tell the difference. The communities of interior Sarawak have been on the receiving end of this service for decades. Generations of families have relied on those helicopters to connect them to medical care. When that service returns, and I believe it will return, it needs to return with confidence that the operation is as safe as it can be made. That confidence has to be earned through the review process, not assumed, on the broader subject of helicopter safety in humanitarian and medevac roles. I'll point you to the work done by the Helicopter Safety Advisory Conference and the Air Medical Operators Association, which has published extensive guidance on safety management systems specifically for air medical operations. If you're involved in that world, or you're thinking about getting into it, those resources are worth your time. The Federal Aviation Administration has also published advisory material on helicopter air ambulance operations through its special rules framework that came out of the FAA Modernization and Reform Act. That regulatory push came, in part, from a string of fatal crashes in the United States helicopter air ambulance sector in the late 2000s. The industry and the regulator worked together to establish flight risk evaluation programs, weather minimums, and crew resource management requirements that have measurably improved safety outcomes. Other nations have looked at what the United States did in that space and drawn lessons from it. Whether Malaysia's Flying Doctor Service is currently operating under a comparable safety management framework is something the current review will presumably assess. The point I keep coming back to is this: 5 people are dead. A service that remote communities depend on is suspended. And somewhere in Malaysia right now, investigators are trying to understand why. The best thing those of us watching from the outside can do is to take the broader lesson seriously, whatever our role in aviation. The lesson about organizational culture. The lesson about the pressure to fly and how to resist it when the conditions argue against it. The lesson about the value of stopping, looking hard at your operation, and asking honestly whether you're doing it right. Those lessons don't belong only to helicopter air ambulance operators in Southeast Asia. They belong to all of us. I'll keep an eye on this story as the investigation develops. If Malaysian authorities release findings from the safety review, that's information worth knowing. Updates at radiohanger.com. Sources for today's segment include AeroTime. Stay safe out there. I'm Tower.